You're listening to the Circularity Capital podcast, where we explore the trends that are enabling the transition to a circular economy. You'll hear from Circularity Capital partners, company executives, and other experts as we investigate how we can leverage capital and insight to support growth and innovation in the circular economy. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. In this series of the Circularity Capital Insights podcast, we're going to explore why the circular economy is increasingly being seen as a powerful framework for regenerative economic growth and how investors are developing specialist strategies to drive value in this space. In the third of our five-part series on investing in the circular economy, I spoke to Ian Nolan, part of the Circularity Capital team. Let's have a listen. So, Ian, thanks so much for joining us today. And I wondered if, to begin with, you could tell us a bit more about your background before Circularity Capital and why you decided to get involved with the firm.
Indeed, yes. So my background is in private equity. I made my career at 3i. I was there for a long time, 24 years, and became the chief investment officer in 2011. It was the following year when my then chairman there, Sir Adrian Montague, wandered into my office and started talking to me about what he called a really interesting project he'd taken on for the UK government, which was advising it on setting up the new £3 billion UK Green Investment Bank. And the more we talked about that, the more fascinating it sounded. The government wanted the bank to help accelerate the decarbonisation of the UK economy. And the challenge was to work out how you could do that, why the investment world was finding it difficult to back green infrastructure projects, and how the bank could do so in a way that had the impact, the acceleration that was sought, whilst also making good financial returns so that it encouraged other money into the market rather than being a subsidised provider of the capital driving proper commercial money out. That was a fascinating experience. I was there for about 3 years. As the bank grew up and became larger, it became less attractive for me, less like a private equity operation, if you like. But I was fascinated by the thought that I could wanted to spend the rest of my career trying to use my experience and my insight knowledge, my network, and a good proportion of my capital to help investment firms that wanted to make a difference to the world, to help solve sustainability problems, and to do so whilst making proper investment returns. And when the Circularity Capital team came and found me with the proposition they had, that was a fantastic fit for what I wanted to do. So I was delighted to get involved.
That was perfect, Ian. So in our Circularity Capital podcasts, we're actually often talking to people outside of Circularity Capital. So people in our network, experts in the circular economy, entrepreneurs, and for example, some of the founders of the companies that we are supporting and backing. But it's great to have someone from Circularity Capital on today. And for those people who don't know the firm, could you please tell us a little bit about the organization, Ian?
Yes, we came together in 2015 as an independent investment company with a mission to deliver value for investors by investing to support growth and innovation in the circular economy. The team brings together specialist expertise in the circular economy and a proven track record of growth stage investing in small and medium-sized companies. Our initial fund is pan-European. It's to provide growth equity. The value of the fund is £60 million. We closed that fund in 2018 at its hard cap with commitments from leading US, European and Australian institutional investors.
Thank you, Ian. Can you tell me a bit more about Circularity Capital's investment thesis? What was it that you set out to achieve when you founded the organization?
Jamie, the starting point for us is that linear business models are often wasteful and inefficient. In contrast, circular business models are restorative and can enable companies to capture significant improvements in customer engagement, resource productivity, and growth. As a specialist investor in the circular economy, our strategy is to create privileged access to high-growth young companies whose business models address key sustainability challenges and who are seeking either primary or secondary capital. We select from across Europe a subset of those where they can capture internalized financial benefits which are compelling on their own and come in addition to the sustainability benefits that come from the circularity of their business model. We aim to be the chosen investor for these companies based on the value of our network, work, our knowledge, and our alignment with their mission and their values. We screen for impact and select for fit with our portfolio construction and our sustainable growth investment criteria. And that's how we make sure that we invest really well in a portfolio of very impactful companies and thereby achieve both the impact and the financial objectives, not trading off between the two. We will build a highly diversified, high impact, high return portfolio, which is balanced across European geography and across growth stages.
Thank you, Ian. And when you say growth stage, what do you actually mean by that?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Because lots of people mean lots of different things. And in different geographies, they mean different things. So the European and the US version of A round and B round and growth, for example, are divided by a common language with different usage. So for us, the minimum threshold for a company to make it investable for us, the minimum threshold is that they've proven that the technology or the product proposition works. We're not smart enough in our own mind to make the judgments about which technologies are and aren't going to work. And the company also needs to have proven that it's got demand traction. It's got several customers who are prepared to buy the product or service at a price at which the product margin is attractive and the base for scaling up the business. That's the minimum threshold. And if a company meets that minimum threshold, then it's an early growth company in our version of this language. We're going to balance the portfolio across early, middle, and later stage growth businesses. Those are inevitably somewhat relative judgments. The best way to describe it may be to imagine that, you know, the average ticket size for an investment for us from our first funders is maybe £4, £5, £6 million. We're going to be investing in companies with valuations somewhere between 30 and say nearer to 100. They're all going to create privileged access to high growth companies whose business models address key sustainability challenges and who are seeking either primary or secondary capital.
Perfect. That's great. Thank you, Ian. So you talk a lot about being a specialist. Why do you think this is important, Ian?
It's incredibly important to us, Jamie, because it gives us the ability to compare businesses right across Northern Europe. We are looking, for example, at a business that is doing, say, recycling end-of-life tyres in Holland. And we're saying, not is this the best end-of-life tyre recycler in Holland, but is it the best end-of-life tyre recycler in Northern Europe? How does it compare with the ones in Sweden? How does it compare with the ones in Germany? And by looking at lots of similar businesses, we're able to make much better judgments. It means that every time we look at a company, what we're learning about the company and its market is valuable. It's never wasted effort, even if we don't end up investing. It just makes us a far more informed investor. I can't stress too much the importance when making small growth cap investments of being a specialist and being able to compare across multiple geographies. It has lots of added benefits in that what you find is when you then go and talk to management about a business where you are familiar with the sector and you're familiar with other business models of that type, you can engage with them very quickly and they just love to find that there's an investor who understands their business and the challenges that it faces.
Thank you, Ian. So Ian, there's a lot of debate in the investment industry at the moment about whether having a positive non-financial impact means a trade-off in terms of financial returns. How do you approach this angle from a Circularity Capital perspective?
Here at Circularity Capital, we have a deeply held belief that there is no sustainable trade-off between the impact objectives and the financial objectives. And let me explain the reason that we hold that view with such conviction. The view that there's a trade-off is predicated on the thought that you have two objectives. You have a financial return objective and you have an impact objective. We don't think the financial return objective is properly described as an objective. It's actually a constraint. If you don't make the financial return, if you lose the capital, then you're going to be out of the market. You're not going to have any impact at all. And the only way you're going to keep your capital alive and grow your capital and indeed encourage other people into the market is if you prove that by investing in these sustainable growth companies, you make premium financial returns, not inferior financial returns. So we fundamentally do not accept that there's a sustainability financial return trade-off. In the end, you deliver both or you deliver neither.
Thanks, Ian. So there appear to be a lot of new players in the circular economy finance space. For example, BlackRock, Decalia, Robeco Sam, and I think in the last couple of months, Lombard Odier, all launching listed equity products. How do you see the industry evolve if we play the tape forward?
We think there entry is positive for the ecosystem, if you like. These players are all doing this investment in the public domain, in other words, investing in listed companies. Now, that's quite different from what we do. We think it's complementary. We think it's healthy for the ecosystem that there are a bunch of fund managers who are looking for quoted companies with strong sustainability credentials that should, in due course, provide better exit routes for us. We think it's quite difficult in the public domain to have real insight and real influence. Almost by definition of the listed company in investment model, you're not allowed to have different information to any of the other investors, and it's very difficult to influence management when you're a small shareholder and you're not deeply involved in the business. So we don't see how we could do our model with listed companies, but we certainly welcome the arrival of capital eager to take the baton on from us as our companies mature and develop, and some of them hopefully will reach the stage of being ready for IPO and for there to be a ready audience of quoted company investors keen to become invested at that stage. We think is entirely healthy.
Thanks, Ian. That was Ian Nolan from Circularity Capital. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. As always, you can find more information at circularitycapital.com or get in touch with us at info@circularitycapital.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.